gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Happy Monday, everybody. I did not just get here a second ago, did I?
No.
No. I am totally prepared. I've been sitting here all weekend. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Comedian Jen Kirkman on the big show today.
That's right.
Whom we love, who is hilarious. Eric Bowler to Media Matters next hour. And much more on the big, big show. How are you enjoying your shutdown, slim down today?
It didn't affect my weekend at Disneyland at all.
Oh, really? Oh, did you have a good time?
I had a great
time.
You're
like, the government's shut down. I'm going to Disneyland.
Exactly.
I went to, guess who I heard from Friday?
Who?
Our buddy, our pal, former and future and present Congressman Alan Grayson.
Awesome.
He said, want to come to real time and watch me? I'm like, yes, I do.
So you went
to
real time?
Yes, I do. And he was fabulous. A rock star, as always. And I got to hang out with him and Carl Reiner after.
Very
cool. The after party situation. Yeah, he was, I don't know if you saw it, but he
I haven't seen it yet.
He was
rock starry,
as usual. He said most members of the Republican Party are in Alcoholics Anonymous these days.
Yes.
Because Bill asked about the drinking, and he said, is it both sides? And he said, no, it's pretty much the Republicans. Seriously, I have to hear that one more time? Both sides?
Yeah.
This is both sides, both sides? Both sides are doing it? Oh, you know, they just can't get along, partisan gridlock, blah, 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 blah. Savannah Guthrie filled in for David Gregory yesterday.
Yes.
And had was equally irritating, so that was good.
There's
they
that.
Found someone. Yeah,
And John Boehner was on this week with George Stephanopoulos.
Really, now?
Yes, and he just completely blamed Obama over and over and over again,
hoping
it would stick.
That's what Rand Paul, first of all, Rand Paul, my friends and I were like all on the phone watching at the same time, going at his hair. Seriously, let's talk about that for the entire show. WTF with his hair. My friend's like, doesn't he have kids? Like, didn't someone go, Daddy, are you... She's like, he looks like a hobo. He did. He looked like a total... His hair was just... Skin's all blotchy.
He's letting the market decide about his hair.
Right, apparently.
Yeah.
That is a libertarian hairstyle, if ever I've seen one. There is no regulation on that sucker
Not at all.
That is just... You really go, did he mean to do that? Because that's... Really? Okay.
Does that occur in nature?
No, it does not. Well, if a hobo sleeps the wrong way on a you know, like a grate or something.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Yeah, no, he does not look like he believes in government of any kind, including housing or hair product. Okay. So, it just gets I can read like a million different articles, and there is no other way. The fact that anybody can let them get away with, I think Rand Paul actually said, "Oh well, you know, Savannah, we've sent a bunch of clean CRs," and she's like, "Really?" And he's like, "Yeah, you know, the piecemeal things."
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, you know, really, that's the way it's always done. Oh my God, that's where she should have loaded the liar cannon and blown him and his little tribal hairstyle away. It's like, what? No, this is not the way anything has ever been done in this country.
In the White House, the White House, the liars.
No, that would be for George Bush, not in the White House, in the Congress.
Oh.
That was a bad liar cannon.
Okay.
So you're fired right out of the box. But secondly,
What's it like to be a liar, huh? You like being a liar with pants constantly on fire?
How's that? Better?
That's better. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we should have taken that out after the Bush administration, the White House, because that's not where.
What if a Republican gets into the White House?
All right, we'll just keep it in cold storage.
All right.
So Boehner, this was the latest. Remember how we were saying we thought there was stories last week that Boehner may be going flaccid a little bit, maybe caving?
Yes.
Sounds like he had a little teabagging over the weekend, right?
Yeah.
John Boehner vowed yesterday not to raise the U.S. debt ceiling without a serious conversation about what is driving the debt.
Yeah. So now he's holding it hostage for entitlement programs.
Right, because last week they were saying he said, well, you know, he's never going to let the United States default. That's
not
going to happen. And so now, obviously, he's been teabagged again.
Yeah.
The nation's credit is at risk because of the administration's refusal to sit down and have a conversation, Boehner said, adding that there were not enough votes in the House to pass a clean CR without any conditions, which is a total
That's a lie.
Also sack of crap. I mean, that is what people need to understand is happening. This country is literally being held hostage just by John Boehner, by the Republican leadership.
Yes.
There are the votes to pass a Clinton. That's why he won't. And Jay Carney called him. You see, he tweeted and said, oh, okay, well, why don't you prove it?
Yeah.
Well, go ahead and vote. If you say there aren't the votes, then prove it that it's not you.
Right.
Yeah, White House spokesman Jay Carney said via Twitter, Boehner should prove he does not have the votes for a clean bill known as a continuing resolution by putting a bill on the House floor. The speaker says there are not enough votes to pass a clean CR. If he's right, why not prove it? Carney said in a tweet. Asked if that meant the United States was headed toward a default if President Obama does not negotiate, Boehner said that's the path we're on. So let's review for those of you that have just tuned in. He means negotiate over a bill. A law that was passed 3.5 years ago that they've lost 40-something times and trying to repeal, lost the Supreme Court, lost 2 elections. That's what he's asking, right, yes. The president to compromise on and stop being so unreasonable.
Right.
The comments appeared to mark a hardening since last week's flaccidity is what they mean. When Boehner was reported to have told Republicans privately that he would work to avoid a default, even if it meant relying on votes of Democrats, as he did in August 2011. Chuck Schumer said, I believe Speaker Boehner will not do that when push comes to shove, saying that Republicans will be forced sooner or later to stand up to the hard right in their party. They will have to back off. There's a desire here for there to be some kind of magic solution, the administration said. There's an easy solution. A majority in Congress would do the right thing if given a chance to open the government. A majority in Congress would do the right thing if given a chance to let us pay our bills. At some point, I mean, Boehner's going to have to cave, isn't he?
Absolutely.
And all it is doing, as the president has said many times, is doing their jobs. Just put the bill on the floor, open the government.
Mm-hmm. It's Congress's job to vote on things.
So yeah. the Boehner has gone flaccid?
No, the Boehner is hardened again. You missed Jim. Jim just got here. No, he was going flaccid last week, and now he is rehardened.
Yes.
After the vigorous teabagging. All right. Boehner, yes?
I do not want the United States to default on its debt.
Oh.
But I am not going to raise the debt limit without a serious conversation about dealing with the problems that are driving the debt up.
So it's changed to entitlement programs now is why we're being held hostage. Last week it was because of the debt ceiling.
Right, right.
His target keeps moving.
Right. Here's what I... Oh, by the way, here's a couple of good news articles. You know me, I try to find the silver lining. This one. By the way, since I was just hanging out with Alan Grayson at Meet the Press... Oh, I have to find pictures. I have pictures.
At Meet the Press or Bill Maher?
Yes, I have pictures of me and Alan Grayson and Carl Reiner hanging. After the show. But anyway, so what was my point? Oh, that remember he said on the show that he thinks there actually is a chance to take the House back? And I know people are going to go, oh, it's the liberal poll. But PPP was one of the most accurate polls in this last election.
Mm-hmm.
I almost pooed myself when I read this weekend. GOP in grave danger of losing the House in 2014.
That's true.
Oh,
no. I believe that.
Oh, no. Is this going as badly for them as we hoped? Shutting down the government may end up costing Republicans control of the House of Representatives. A series of polls released Sunday show just how damaging the shutdown has been for the GOP public policy polling. And you, by the way, you can tune in at the top of Rush Hill. He will say these are just horse liberal polls.
Yeah.
Just like the ones showing that Mitt Romney was going to lose quite handily. For Democrats to win a House majority, 17 seats would need to switch into their party's favor. Results show that would be within reach as Republican incumbents are behind in 17 of the districts analyzed. I just said I cannot believe you could do this bad a job, even despite gerrymandering.
Well, can I tell you something?
Yes.
This weekend, I was staying at the Anaheim Hilton, where also the California Republican Party was having its convention.
Oh, how's that going? How were all three of them?
I was standing in line at the Starbucks there, and there were two Republicans standing behind me, and they were saying, "Yeah, I think we need something really bad or catastrophic to happen to California Governor Jerry Brown, so we could just swoop in and win this thing."
Wow.
Oh.
That is their plan.
Physically?
Wow. That is, yes.
Wow. They're planning on assassinating Jerry Brown.
That is, awesome. They're planning on something bad to happen so that they can win instead of offering up newer and better policies.
Wish you'd
recorded. By the way,
that.
I told Bill Maher we played his whole California thing because it was perfect. I mean, literally, California's working because we threw all the Republicans
out. Exactly.
There is no gridlock in our legislature, and we turned a record deficit into a surplus. We should play the thing again, but it was brilliant.
Yeah, but I was thinking, if that is their plan on winning elections, they deserve to be a dying
then
party.
They're literally terrorists.
Absolutely, yeah. That's,
wow.
Wow.
Yeah, that was really enlightening.
But they've done this before, back in the 90s. They got overconfident because, oh, Clinton's dead now. We got Monica.
Yeah.
What? What just happened?
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
I mean, and the good news, I was laughing about, wait, I've got a, what is it? Oh, I think I've got some fun facts. Hang on.
Okay.
All right, hang on.
Let me get the music out.
Yes.
Okay.
He's got the music in him. He's got to get it out.
It's just, the media kills me even more than Republicans sometimes, because Savannah Guthrie's filling in for David Gregory, and of course she's hammering, who is it, Jacob from the administration, Jacob Liu, I think?
Yeah, the Treasury Secretary.
It's like, okay, so let me get the storyline is that Obamacare is wildly unpopular, right? It's like, well, what, and he was talking about the glitches, he said, well, we didn't expect this kind of demand. She's like, well, why not? Why didn't you expect the wildly unpopular Obamacare to be popular? What's wrong with you? I mean, the numbers. Wow. Look, check this out. Kentucky health officials thought they... This is front page of the LA Times yesterday. Kentucky health officials thought they might get a handful of serious shoppers when they flipped the switch Tuesday on whatever their KNET, whatever they're calling it, the new online insurance marketplace the state created under President Obama's health care law. We weren't even hopeful that a couple hundred people would apply, said the executive director. By the end of the week, more than 16,000 Kentucky individuals and families had begun online applications to get health care coverage next year. It has been a similar story across the country. Since the new marketplaces have opened Tuesday, millions of Americans have flooded websites, call centers, and insurance offices seeking information about health coverage.
Ah, but there are glitches, you see, so it must be repealed.
Well, glitch, please. That's exactly what I was saying. I'm going, because, right, like the president said, there it exceeded even there.
It's too popular.
Damn
that's
it.
That's the problem.
How would you have miscalculated?
Right, because of this wall of disinformation and people saying it over and over again, clearly, the initial evidence is it's wildly popular already, and they're rushing to try to fix the, you know, the how, what system wouldn't crash if there was that kind of demand that quickly? But I mean, it's like to say that's an example that Obamacare is a disaster. No, it's the opposite.
Right.
So what? They'll fix the computer glitches. I mean.
So when people are lining up around the block in two layers to get a flat screen TV, that's a disaster for
right.
the store.
Right. You gotta.
Total failure.
Shut down flat screen TV production immediately. Anyway, so but there is one, the other silver lining story about a way to get through this that I hadn't seen, but in the LA Times. We'll talk about that next. 18 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Esquire?
No, sorry, Vogue.
Right. No, different magazine.
Time.
Time.
Newsweek?
No.
No.
Newsweek doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Der Spiegel?
Yeah, that works.
24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, so many interesting stories. You know, Mommy reads the old-timey newspaper where I get newsprint on my fingers.
You are the very last person to do that.
Interesting. New York Times cover yesterday. A crisis of the months in the planning. Conservatives focused on the budget as a health care weapon. Months and months and months ago.
Yeah.
So to try to pretend that this happened any other way than them refusing to talk to the president or Democrats for months until they have the leverage, what did Budget Munster call it? The forcing mechanism of shutting down the entire United States government or defaulting on our debt. That's their
forcing mechanism.
I mean, they have taken America hostage. It's time for them to start covering this correctly. Savannah Guthrie was driving me nuts yesterday.
Both sides do it.
No, but they take the Republican talking point as like a starting point of the conversation. And it's a little historical context, please, would be magical. Could you do that? Could you say this has never happened in the history of our country, that one country has taken the country literally hostage?
It's a moderator's job to provide context.
Right. Because I think she was asking Jacob Blue, well, you know, why not negotiate? Why don't you think it looks bad that you're not...
Idiot.
No, listen, the president can't do this because this creates a precedent that this country would be ungovernable. You can't just say, I'm going to shut the government down or default on the United States full faith and credit every time I don't like
a
law. And
shut down the law that's already been...
Right.
Yeah. It's working.
Yes, and helping people. And the latest thing is that... That, I thought, how are they going to spin this? I'm like, yep, there they go. There's the negative. Oh, there's glitches because it's so wildly popular. How long did you have to wait for the new iPhone 5? Yes, it's popular. There were glitches in trying to get the new whatever the
hell it
was.
I have to wait till November.
Thank you.
That was a glitch in the Affordable Care Act.
I saw, I took Jackie Schechner out for her birthday brunch this weekend. Jackie turned 40 last week, and it was during the week, so I had to miss it, so we took her out.
Yeah.
But she was, you know, she was going nuts, of course, about the health care stuff, and she was like, you have however long, 6 months to sign up, so what, you didn't get on the first day? That's not a...
Oh. I know.
Yeah, don't get Jackie wound up.
I'm the same way about the iPhone. I knew I wasn't going to get an iPhone the very first day.
Settle down, friggin' nation of toddlers, for God's sakes.
I know.
But I can understand the worry of people who don't have health insurance.
Right.
They want to get it as soon as possible.
Right.
I have an iPhone. I don't need to upgrade right now.
Right. Yeah, so just settle. Yeah.
I have a pager. I'm fine. I'm good.
One of the original cell phones.
I'll just go to a payphone. Wait a minute.
Oh, wait a minute. I can use a payphone until the iPhone 5 comes out. It's fine. Anyway, so I don't know which article may. There's so much great stuff that's been written. But speaking of toddlers, that's why any parent can tell you why he can't cave in to Republicans. They said, you know, it's like, sure, you can make this trip to the store easier if you. If you, you know, reward screaming with a piece of candy, but then you will never have a trip to the store again. Who else wrote the great piece about, what was this, about, you know, it's governing by blackmail, our friend Nick Kristof.
Yeah.
Suppose the president announced, unless Republicans agree to my proposal for gun control, I will use my authority as commander-in-chief to scuttle one aircraft carrier a week into the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah. Right.
I invite Republican leaders to come to the White House and negotiate a deal to preserve our military strength. I hope Republicans will work with me to prevent the loss of our carrier fleet. They say, that'd be funny if you love the military so much. I'm going to sink one carrier a week. In that situation, we would all agree that Obama had gone nuts. And in that kind of situation, I would hope that we as journalists wouldn't describe the resulting furor as a political impasse or partisan gridlock. I would hope we wouldn't settle for quoting politicians on each side as blaming the other. It would be appropriate to point out the obvious. Our president has tumbled over the edge and was endangering the nation. Today we have a similar situation, except that it's a band of extremist House Republicans who are deliberately sabotaging America's economy and damaging our national security, all in the hopes of gaining leverage on unrelated issues. By the way, all y'all fiscal conservatives out there, all y'all budget hawks, debt hawks, the shutdown of the government by House Republicans has already cost at least $1.2 billion.
Well done.
With the tab increasing by $300 million a day. Some estimates are
much
higher than
Obama.
That.
Thanks,
Obama. Yeah. It covers us being mocked around the world. The French newspaper Le Monde writing, Jefferson, wake up, they've gone crazy. Some Americans think this crisis reflects typical partisan squabbling. No, Democrats and Republicans have always disagreed, sometimes ferociously, about what economic policy is best. But in the past, it was not normal for either side to sabotage the economy as a negotiating tactic.
Yeah.
The hardliners apparently believe that their negotiating position is strengthened when they demonstrate that they can wreck American governance. Nick Kristof ending by saying, the last time House Republicans played politics with this debt limit in 2011, Standard & Poor's downgraded America's credit rating. In the long run, that may mean higher debt payments and higher taxes. Thanks.
Great.
By opening example of a president scuttling naval ships was ludicrous. No one would do that. But if we default because of extremist House Republicans, the cost would be much greater to our economy and our national security than the loss of a few aircraft carriers. Great stuff. Nick Kristof, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey,
is the most beloved person on television?
Not
Stephanie Miller.
Thank you.
Teehee. A grand time was had by all on the Ed Show on MSNBC Friday. That was good fun. I love Big Eddie. Good, happy he's back. Full time on the TV. 34 minutes after the hour. Oh, by the way, we were talking about the latest photo op. Did you see the latest Republican skit? The ones that are doctors all wearing doctor coats.
Oh, God.
Talking about they must restore funding to the...
Look, I have a stethoscope.
NIH immediately. Who, what boobs could be responsible for cutting off money to the... Why won't the president...
I would be in surgery right now if it were not for Obamacare.
Yes.
God, so childish.
I said, how many are proctologists? Because I think we know where they're getting their ideas from. But no, ladies and flavin. You were saying, speaking of humor, some of the buttons at the Republican convention here.
Hilarious.
Go ahead.
Chris had a close view of some of that stuff.
Yes, I was there this weekend.
Wow. Okay, here's my...
Yeah.
Okay. I'm holding my side still.
Okay.
KFC Hillary special, two fat thighs, two small breasts, left wing. Oh, here's another one.
Good luck in 2016.
I still hate commies, even after they changed their name to liberals.
That's a joke? Is that supposed to be?
It's what?
Is it a joke?
Doesn't make any sense.
All right.
No.
Well, okay. Good luck, candidate Cruz. Oh, my God.
Good luck being president of Alberta.
Yeah. By the way, did anyone read Maureen Dow? We should post this. Welcome to Ted Cruz's Thunderdome. It's literally Ted Cruz will turn America into Mad Max beyond Thunderdome. Waterworld, you pick your some sort of libertarian paradise like Somalia.
Somalia.
He will rule
or
over
his hairstyle.
It. Yes, he will rule over that someday. Here was the good news story, which I who knows what can be done or will be done, Jim. LA Times op-ed canceling the shutdown, playing by the rules. A couple of callers had mentioned this last week. By using the threat of a discharge petition, a majority of House members can force a clean CR onto the floor for a decisive vote to break the logjam. Wouldn't this be delightful?
Well, if they have a discharge, they could use Obamacare.
Hey! some penicillin because... What? Okay. By all accounts, there are enough House Republicans prepared to join with Democrats to fund the government, raise the debt ceiling without demanding provisions attacking Obamacare. The only thing stopping them is the House leadership, which is refusing to allow appropriations bill onto the floor. All right, here's the rub. But House rules give the majority a way to take this decision out of Speaker Boehner's hands by signing a discharge petition. 218 members can force a bill onto the floor for a decisive vote. The critical date is October 14th because discharge petitions can only be presented on the second and fourth Mondays in a month. And the hilarious part of this, the exploding comedy cigar, is that normally some pundits are saying, oh, you can't do that because of this, or needs to be it needs to be pending before a committee for 30 days. Well, because of all these ridiculous continuing resolutions they keep putting forward, they may have created the scenario where this becomes possible. The op-ed is saying there is no need to wait until October 14th for the majority to take action. Democrats and Republicans should declare right now they will sign a discharge petition when the moment comes. Oh, this would be choice.
Yeah.
Using it as a tool to break the undemocratic effort by the Republican leadership to muzzle the majority, a bipartisan House coalition would not only be acting within its legal authority, it would be redeeming a basic principle of American government, which, again, is why we were saying on Friday that why the president has to stand firm. He's not just standing up for his health care law. It's for our system of government and the precedent we create for how this country is governed. The Boehner yesterday.
We are not going to pass a clean debt limit increase.
Okay.
I told the president, there's no way we're going to pass when the votes are not in the House to pass a clean debt limit.
Really?
And the president is risking default by not having a conversation with it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, well, prove it. As Jay Carney said, prove it. Put the bill on the floor then. What you so scared of?
The president just he refuses to compromise.
Just to hear him screaming, this is some damn game! Whatever. Okay.
He must have had a few mimosas.
Yeah. Oh, so that was the big, oh, God, both sides do a thing over the weekend, is that some unnamed, I guess, White House sort, but said something about we're winning. So, of course, they were like, that's what Boehner was reacting to This Isn't a Game. And then, of course, I will give Meet the Press credit. They did play the off-mic thing with Rand Paul saying,
good.
We're winning.
Yeah.
We're winning. I think we stand firm because we're winning this thing. Yeah, not really.
Computer says nah.
3/4 of the American people say nah.
Yeah.
Nah, no you're not. But anyway, now it's just a game of gotcha. It's like who called it winning, who called it... I mean, if you check the polls, obviously the president and the Democrats are winning.
That's right.
But they're the ones that don't want this to be a game. They're just, put the bill on the floor. Do your job. Just vote. Okay. John in Washington. Hello, John. Welcome. Hello, John.
Hi, Steph.
Yeah.
Hi, Steph. Yeah, if we take Boehner at his word, he says that, Bill, we need to have a serious discussion about this debt. Well, the debt has been paid down by half. It was over $1 trillion. Now it's like, you know, $600 billion something. And some economists are actually saying that we're paying it off too fast.
Right.
I don't know how or why that's relevant, but this is an alcohol fueled death cult. They think of life as, you know what, when the real crash happens, I'll be long dead. I'll never see it. They really, you know, they're like a coral reef. They cast out, you know, they want all these lives, you know, protect every fetus. But when it comes down to it, only theirs are they willing to. Do they have the trust fund set up for? And, you know, they're dead enders. They're a death cult.
Yeah, yeah. No.
Well, time to put on the Nikes and cut your nads off. Wait for the comet.
We meant that in a theoretical sense,
sure.
Didn't we, Jim?
I was talking about that. That's a callback to 1996.
I know, wow. Dennett in Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Dennett.
Hey, Stephanie. I am of the same mindset as you regarding Savannah Guthrie. I'm like, really? Really? I wanted to hit her. And I know I get in trouble because you're not allowed to hit people.
Well,
it's not nice.
You would only hurt your hand if you did it to your TV. But, right.
Well, this is true. This is true. But I could pretend like my hand was going through the TV
right.
And smack her a couple times.
Right.
But, you know, the thing that drives me insane about all of this is how gullible the public is. It's like, really? So what was the sequester? If the sequester wasn't a forced mechanism for paying down the debt.
Yeah.
If cutting the farm bill, you know, cutting food stamps or SNAP benefits and WIC and all this other stuff, what have we been doing all this time if we haven't been paying the debt down? Every time that there's a conversation around debt, the president has capitulated. He's bent over backwards to work across the aisle. He's given it a noble effort. And I'm actually glad that he's standing firm right now. It's like if you back down, not only is it the end of the Democratic Party, but it is end of democracy. We are being ruled by 5-year-old tyrants. When my child acts out, I used to make my son drop and do push-ups in the store if he was throwing a fit. I was like, really? You want to act in and embarrass your family? Drop and give me 20 push-ups right now.
Yep.
Maybe they all need to be doing push-ups. I don't understand this. They need a whooping.
You almost sound like a Michelle Obama Let's Move socialist. But
I am a Let's Move socialist. And
good
let's
for you.
Feed people. And let's, you know, let's do our job. We sent them to Congress to do a job, and they're not doing it.
Yeah.
And by some glitch of the Constitution, they get paid while service members who are actually dying in combat
right.
and their families don't get paid. What bizarro, crazy world are we living in?
Yep, exactly. All right, honey.
This guy named Lee Terry says he needs a salary during the government shutdown because he has a nice house. So he's going to keep taking his paycheck.
Wow.
Oh, I see. That's nice.
And a nice house to pay for.
That's nice. Okay. Yeah. Let's go to Scott in Massachusetts. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Scott.
Oh, hey, Stephanie. How are you, darling?
Good. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. First off, I just want to say I am a member of your website, and I have you on podcast with my iPhone, which is fabulous.
Fabulous.
Nice.
Fabulous.
Yes. Thank you. I love you guys. You guys are such a great show. Okay. People. These Republicans, the Boehner, Cruz, Bachman, Rance Priebus, and that man needs a pacifier, I gotta tell you, so you can stop acting like a little bitch. Basically, these people are living in a bubble. You know, you gotta go back to Bill Marshall when he did like this presentation of like, you know, these people living in a bubble. They are living in a bubble. They are probably living in some kind of alternative universe or
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they need to stop it. They They really need to stop it. They need
Scott, you know, everybody's been playing that clip of that one Republican, but it sums up what has happened to their party. He said, we won't be disrespected like this. We got to get something out of this. And I don't even know what that is exactly.
Yeah, what is that?
I mean, exactly. That sums it up. They and this is the point. Now they've painted themselves into a corner. They're like, well, how do we save face? Well, you don't, you moron. You painted yourself in there. The boner yesterday.
The nation's credit is at risk because of the administration's refusal to sit down and have a conversation.
No. Right about a law.
About a law that was passed by the House, which you're a member of.
And the Supreme Court ruled it constitutional.
Yeah, we had a conversation. We had two elections, which are conversations. We had a conversation with the Supreme Court. And you had, 44 conversations in the House about repealing it? You lose, sir. You get nothing.
You get nothing!
Good day, sir.
Good day, sir!
Oh.
I could fix that hump.
What hump?
Sue in Rockville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Sue.
Hey, good morning. You know, living in the D.C. area, there are two pluses to the shutdown. One is there's no traffic.
Uh-huh.
And so for people driving, everything's been cut in half. And the other plus is that the cooch, every day in Virginia, the cooch loses more ground. And this weekend, the weasel and coward that he is had imported Cruz for a fundraiser, but he refused to be photographed with him.
With Cruz, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. On the minus
side. Give me your crazy money, but I don't want to be photographed with crazy.
Yeah, and then on the minus side, it's really bad, though, of course, is that all the way down the line, from dry cleaners to everybody, business is really bad.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
And no beer. The bars are running out of beer.
Oh, for God's sakes. Now, you know what? Now this is not America. This is not my America anymore.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you, Sue. You know what? Give me the beer song in honor. For God's sakes, Jim, there is no order in America unless there is beer.
What is the malted liquor? What gets you drunk or quicker? What comes in bottles or in cans?
Beer.
Can't get enough of it.
Beer.
How we really love it.
Beer.
Makes me think I'm a man.
Beer.
I could kiss and hug it.
Beer.
But I'd rather chug it.
Beer.
Got my belly up here.
Beer.
I could not refuse it.
Beer.
I could really use a beer.
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 Well, go to Germany. They got plenty of beer.
I'm telling you. That's what will get the government turned back on. The president needs to go... Next, I'm canceling football. Don't make me do
that. Oh, yeah.
Okay. 46 minutes after the hour, right back.
Are you ready for some... Oh, never mind.
Never mind. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Do. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, Eric Bollert from Media Matters at the top of the hour. Sue in Rockville was talking about this is the state of the Republican Party. How pathetic is this? So in the clear sign yet of the potent effect of the government shutdown in the Virginia governor's race, Republican Ken Cuccinelli.
Yeah.
Avoided being photographed with Ted Cruz at a gala they headlined Saturday night, even leaving before the Texas senator rose to speak.
Wow.
Backstage, a source said Cuccinelli urged Cruz to work with Democrats to end the federal shutdown, but he did not make that point or even acknowledge Cruz in short public comments to some 1,100 social conservatives that he spoke to.
Oh, my God.
I mean, this is the contradiction that, you know, in backstage, he's like, stop being an asshat, you're killing my campaign, and then he's... For his part, Cruz heaped praise on his friend Cuccinelli and argued passionately in a 54-minute speech, which is just a warm-up for him, that their party can still win the messaging fight over the shutdown if people just speak loudly enough. Right, no matter how wrong you are, if you just speak louder.
2 + 2 = 17!
Okay.
It was loud.
All right.
Wrong,
we
but
heard
loud.
That. We heard it. Cruz touted Republican success at blocking new gun laws in the wake of last year's massacre in an elementary school in Connecticut. Yes,
because there aren't enough shootings.
Right. He said millions of Americans spoke up. Really? Yes, 90% of them said, yes, we want these gun laws. We want background checks. Ugh. So how do we win this fight over Obamacare? The exact same way.
By lying.
Official Washington may not be with us, but the American people are. No.
No, they're not. God.
It's official law.
I know.
Excessive gun laws have prevented the shooting of God knows how many kids. Who do they think they are, these people?
Yeah, David in North Carolina. Hi, David.
Hi, Steph.
Okay.
You know, I'm sure the younger generation wonders why we study history. You know, that was then, this is now. And they also, if they weren't around, they wonder why we old folks were so vehement about not voting for Goldwater Miller back in 1964, especially after the main line that came out of the Republican convention, and you can all recite it with me, extremism in defense of liberty.
He is no vice.
this is frightening because what has happened to those of us that were back there, it's finally coming true. What we were so afraid of 50 years ago is finally happening. This is why we didn't vote Goldwater Miller.
Mm-hmm. All right, quit dragging my dad into it. But what's your point? I mean, what's coming true?
Well, the point is that we were so frightened back then that we didn't do it. So all it did was it delayed it for 50 years, and it's now surfacing 50 years later. This extremism in the defense of what
Listen,
they think is liberty.
Barry Goldwater would be way too liberal for this Republican Party. We could only wish for Goldwater Miller at this point. God, they'd be considered liberals.
Yeah, that was actually an acceptable kind of extremism in today's standards.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because their extremism back there was as extreme as these guys, as the Ted Cruz's today. It's just everything has moved further to the right.
Right.
That's yeah.
All.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well,
extreme
exactly.
is the new normal.
Yeah. Tanya in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Tanya.
Stephanie Louise Miller.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello. Go ahead.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Here's my thing. Back in the 1930s, when we were having a government shutdown, okay, that guy before was just crazy. Anyway. I was having a family, I was at a family cookout over the weekend, and my family is incredibly right-wing, incredibly Republican.
Uh-huh.
And you had made a point earlier that how much it was costing us to have the government shut down.
Right.
Okay, and I was trying to make that point to my family. I was like, you guys don't understand. It is costing millions and millions of dollars, and then you said billions, and I was like, holy shit.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, really?
I think Tanya's a weekend party was not quite over yet.
No.
Another thing. Remember that when that guy said stuff about...
And I certainly do not judge that. If I could still be drunk, I would be. Okay. All right, so, okay, sorry. All right, anyway.
I remember the Piggly Wiggly, and I said to the guy.
Okay, so, yes, lots of great Fine American op-eds around this whole thing. But, you know, go to my point. Staring down the irrational wing of the GOP in the LA Times.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Giving in on the government shutdown might save us some pain now, but Obama knows the nation would continue to be held hostage by a small group of Republican Congress members. This is why he can't.
Yep.
The Nobel Prize-winning game theorist Thomas Schelling wrote in his most important book, The Strategy of Conflict, that when a man who shows up at your doorstep with a knife threatens to stab himself if you don't give him $10, is more likely to get the money if his eyes are bloodshot. Like our last caller. I translate this important observation to my law and business students this way. In negotiation, the crazy person wins. It is the proper strategy to concede to a lunatic in a one-off negotiation encounter, but not necessarily if you know you'll have to negotiate with him again in the future. If repeat interactions are in the cards, the benefit of minimizing your losses today needs to be weighed against the long-term cost of encouraging a man with the bloodshot eyes to double down on crazy the next time because your response has taught him that doing so works. This is why parents, see, any parent can understand this.
That's right.
This is why parents should not give in to a three-year-old willing to throw a temper tantrum in a grocery store checkout line until he gets candy. A single candy purchase won't hurt him, and buying one beats causing a scene in public any day of the year, even if it might spoil his dinner. The problem is, plunk down a dollar for Skittles and you might not get to have a pleasant trip to the store for years. The same logic accounts for why governments in general should not concede to terrorist groups that threaten to kill a hostage, even though the pressure to do so is often great. Anyway, it just concludes by saying Obama and his congressional allies have finally come to terms with the fact that you cannot reasonably expect to pay off the Bloodshot Eyes Caucus only once. Its members will be back to threaten and wreak havoc on the entire country, and themselves and their constituents included, again and again. That's why I don't say bad things about the president. We probably should not have, the last time, because this is exactly what has happened. He shouldn't have blinked the last debt ceiling, but I just don't think we've seen the likes of this Republican Party in our history. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. There's only one man that can help me survive the Rand Pauls of the world on Meet the Press,
and that
whose hair desperately needs government regulation.
Or
it
some
needs
kind of
regulation of some kind.
Yeah.
Something, for God's sake. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Hey, good morning.
Wow, wow, wow. Only
yeah.
you can help me at this point. Because this is, that's the thing. When we talk about, you always do the hashtag liberal media.
Yeah.
I mean, it is incredible, even in the face of this, that there is no sense of historical context anywhere. It's just, both sides, and it's, partisan gridlock and yada, yada. I mean, it is exasperating.
Yeah, and we talked last week, and looking back, I was overly optimistic because the D.C. press really never refuses to let me down. So I thought, that was sort of day one, or we were approaching day one, and we talked about it. This was almost like a test case for the press. I mean, it was so obvious what was going on. Republicans, adopting this completely unprecedented attempt to repeal a law that was passed 3 years previous, had sustained a Supreme Court challenge. Obama won an electoral landslide. I mean, no one had even dreamed of doing this before. So I thought this is – and I had seen sort of early indications that even the press was like, come on, guys. But as the week progressed, that all fell apart and sort of like, grabbing onto life rafts, they started clinging tighter and tighter to the both sides because, as we talked about, that's the only way you can maintain this illusion that there are simply two parties that disagree. And gosh, this is really, why can't they come together? And Paul Krugman has a great column today, and he uses the word that has basically been outlawed, radical. You can't describe the Republican Party as radical, because once you acknowledge that, then the whole both sides to blame melts away, and then you open yourself to the challenge that you're part of the liberal media. So since Inauguration Day, the right has just gone radical, extreme, unprecedented. I run out of adjectives.
Well,
and the press sticks to the middle and says, well, gosh, I wish these two could just get along. And now they're basically now with the debt ceiling, et cetera. The Republican Party just embraces this radical sort of hostage-taking, and the pundits line up to tell the White House, here's what you should do so they'll stop acting crazy.
And if I have to see one more clip of some condescending, patronizing Republican going, if the president would just be reasonable and just
right?
we're asking, just talk, just compromise, we're willing to, it's just...
Just bend over backwards and do everything we want.
Your tweets say it all. Game today. GOP adopts insanely obstructionist strategy. D.C. pundits tell White House what concessions it should give so GOP will stop acting insane.
Yeah.
You tweeted, because yes, I'm sure if radical Dems shut down government over Iraq war funding, a whole generation of D.C. pundits would have urged Bush to negotiate. I mean, exactly. That's the whole. You say, recall the pundits' hysterical name-calling of Obama during Syria, quote-unquote, blunder. Compare that with muted coverage of Boehner's fiasco. Now, I mean, it really, and that's the thing, it comes down to one man.
Yeah.
Obviously, he has, the votes are there to open the government.
And according to the counts today, he was basically lying when he went on this week yesterday and said, oh, you know, we don't have the votes. You know, all the vote counts are that's there. We could end this today. But Boehner doesn't want to risk, you know, his job, which is basically been eliminated, and for all practical purposes. I mean, there is no Speaker of the House.
Right.
That's another thing that the press, you know, really will not come out and say, that the leadership of the Republican Party has basically evaporated. They are in so far over their head. They are sort of beyond incompetent in terms of any sort of strategy. They have even, you know, Byron York at the conservative Washington Examiner quoting Republicans saying, you know, we have no idea how we got here and we don't know where we're going. Again, going back to that tweet, I mean, if the Democratic Party had ever hatched anything harebrained as this while Bush was president, they would have been literally run out of town by the D.C. press. Not the columnists, by the D.C. press, which would have hammered them as radical, incoherent, you know, certainly not savvy enough to pull anything like this off. But the coverage to me has been fairly muted, and the coverage of Boehner has been muted. It's sort of, oh gosh, he's in a real tough spot, you know, between him, you know, himself and the Tea Party. He's not, you know, I think Harry Reid was closer to the truth when he reportedly called, you know, Boehner a coward behind closed doors last week.
Yeah, well, but you know, you tweeted, D.C. press plays dumb about Boehner because so many cling so desperately to both sides to blame to tell the truth about GOP that burst that bubble. And meanwhile, over on Fox, as you say, so yes, the Fox messaging this week has been the shutdown is awesome and Obama must end it immediately. I mean, it is complete incoherence, right?
It's complete incoherence. I mean, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, others for weeks were cheering the idea. Laura Ingraham said it would be a dream come true for conservatives. And then I don't know if they – and they might have convinced themselves, just like they convinced themselves Mitt Romney was going to win in a landslide, they might have actually convinced themselves Republicans would be cheered as liberators once the shutdown began. But obviously all the polls started pouring in. And so then – well, often within the same hour, they shift between, Republicans are standing on principle, Republicans, the Tea Party is doing what, you know, has to be done in Washington, and then they flip 30 minutes later to, you know, the World War II Memorial, and Obama's a monster, and the park rangers have become his, you know, his army of intimidators or something like that. So even within the same hour, they can't even, they don't even understand what they're doing.
It
simply reflects the Republican Party, which has no idea why this shutdown began, and they have no idea where it's going.
That's what your headline sums it up. Fox News got GOP into shutdown mess, but it can't get the GOP out. I mean, this is exactly, as I've said, the corner they've painted themselves into. You say, dealt an incoherent hand by Republican activists in Congress who seem to jump back and forth between proudly defending the shutdown's continuation and demanding Obama and the Democrats end it immediately. The party's press allies have been caught up in confused messages and jumbled, often contradictory talking points. As you say, it starts with it's not really a shutdown, it's a slim down.
Yeah. Right.
And you say, and this time the Democrats aren't the only ones lashing out. So are other members of the Republican Party. I mean,
on the eve of this, you know, the adjectives by McCain or was it Peter King calling Senator Cruz a fraud and things
Karl
like
Rove,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Karl Rove saying this is a disaster. Charles Krauthammer talking about the suicide caucus.
There was a representative Republican from Mississippi that called his colleagues lemmings with suicide vests. Right?
That's right. And again, going back to a week ago, why I think, you know, I was overly optimistic. This was so obviously 100% story about an internal Republican struggle slash meltdown slash call it whatever you want. It was so obvious that the shutdown was being, why it was being triggered, and it was all about Republicans. And yet, you know, as I tweeted and wrote about at Media Matters last week, you know, Nancy Pelosi routinely, you know, either put in headlines or you know, the lead to stories, Harry Reid about, you know, what he can do to end this. Even Barack Obama, I mean, if you look at this, you know, realistically, he's essentially a spectator. They have no real role in any of this because Republicans have adopted this. We're going to repeal a three-year-old law? I mean, who even thinks of that? But the Democrats, all of them are thrown right into the mix. You know, why can't Nancy Pelosi end this? And you look at this and you think, 9 out of 10 people who write this know what they're writing is kind of gibberish and foolish, and they understand what's really going on.
Yep.
But it's sad in that they don't feel they have enough confidence or courage or respect the news process enough to basically spell it out.
And I get I always get the visual of Boner is just like a drunk in a bar, just swinging, you know, randomly at the air, and the president's just holding his forehead, and then until he inevitably will just fall to the floor.
But you know, but we're seeing that now. You know, obviously the talking point over the weekends for the Republicans is Obama won't negotiate, and what kind of you know, headstrong, you know, obstinate leader does that? And everyone wants to negotiate. Yeah, you know, and the press is just, you know, basically picking that up. In theory, it sounds like a reasonable point of view, just like it's, you know, if you subtract why the government was shut down about Obamacare, it kind of sounded reasonable. So when you take out of the when you take all the context out, when you strip away the facts, you then give the Republicans a plausible talking point, and that's what they're hoping the press will continue to do, particularly to the run-up to the debt ceiling fiasco, which will happen next week.
Right, and the other bad timing we have, as you say, is another daunting hurdle, the surging consumer interest in Obamacare, thanks to the stampede this week in response to the registration rollout. The fight to get rid of Obamacare, wipe it out as a government program, is effectively over. That's simply not going to happen, not when Americans are lining up online to join. You know, and as you say, those high hopes appear to be dashed. After 1 week, Obamacare has been deemed a consumer hit. The shutdown's a flop. The Republicans have been assigned the blame for a widely unpopular scheme. Hard to see how Fox's messaging effort could have gone any worse.
Yeah, and the messaging effort was such a flop because it was so confused, which the Republican message was so confused. And as I also pointed out in that piece of Media Matters, I mean, what was amazing, if you go back to Monday or Tuesday, by like 3 o'clock on the first day, healthcare was eliminated as a talking point. Republican Party didn't even talk about it. You know, this was the, you know, years of building up to this, weeks of Ted Cruz and his, you know, faux filibuster. It was all about this monstrosity of healthcare. And then within a day they realized, well, that's not going to fly because people actually want it.
Yeah.
So the shutdown became about parks and museums and this completely, you know, a jumbled kind of talking point.
Well, and now it's really devolved into just pure comedy. The headline of Media Matters this morning, of course, is Fox falls for a fake story about Obama personally funding Muslim museum during shutdown. I mean, I love the tweet from Anna Kumayan? I don't know who she is. Just met with producers. I made a mistake yesterday after receiving flawed research about a museum possibly closing. My apologies, won't happen again. Yes, it will.
Yeah,
it's Fox News.
Yeah. Just wait 12 hours.
I mean, just, you know, Fox, you know, do they ever fire any of these people for these massive, you know, sort of junior high mistakes? You know, you wouldn't even do this in your newsletter in eighth grade, let alone a national cable channel. But yeah, I mean, it fits perfectly. I mean, all those producers, all those people behind the scenes, they all, you know, they live in this bubble of Obama's a monster. It's not Hannity. It's not just Laura Ingraham. I mean, that is the culture. So you go to work to please your boss, trying to be the first to find new ways to prove that Obama's a monster. So,
I'm going to get a promotion. I found out that the president's personally paying for a Muslim museum.
Right. So if it had happened to be true, which it never would have, you know, she would have been, you know, the star of the week at the news desk because she was the first one to find this thing that would have gone viral. They're in such a rush.
Yep.
And they arrive at work with such this, you know, such bias and such contempt for the president that's what they set out to do all day. And sometimes it produces these wildly humorous results.
Yep, exactly. All right. And no one better to tell us about it than you. Eric Bowler to Media Matters. Thanks so much, Eric.
Okay.
Okay.
There's an article at HuffPo called "You Might Hate Obamacare, But It Saved These People's Lives."
And it has a list of people.
And there's a woman who has a handwritten sign.
It says, I am Obamacare. I'm 34 and my job does not provide benefits or health insurance. I was in pain for days and went to the ER, discovered my uterus was full of tumors. Me too. I couldn't pay for surgery, and because it was now a pre-existing condition, insurance companies could and did turn me down for coverage.
Right.
But because President Obama passed health care reform, I was able to get insurance and the surgery I needed to get well. Thank you, President Obama, for helping me live and heal when others said no.
Yay. Thank you for that, Jim, and I'm sorry about your uterine tumors. 19 minutes after.
I think it's an ectopic pregnancy.
Probably.
Actually.
It's
probably.
Not a big deal. Right. Oh, 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number up the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Robert in Canada, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Stephanie. I listen to you on Sirius up here in Canada.
Awesome. Hey, thanks for Ted Cruz. We appreciate it. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Just on your discussion with Eric.
Who says Canada can't bring down the United States? Who needs an army? All you had to do is send one douche nozzle.
I think you guys got to realize is that you have a three-party system like we have. And when you appreciate that, you're going to understand what's happening a little better. And it may be one day the Tea Party is going to vote with the Democrats on something. There is an issue that they will vote with the Democrats on, and then you'll realize that you have a three-party system just like us.
Yeah.
But the point I wanted to make, Stephanie, is on...
although that will never happen, but I get your point theoretically, Robert.
Oh, it is. Yeah, but they
are far right extremists. That's what they are. I mean, they tried this in the beginning, like, oh, we're just, you know, a new party. We don't really they're a Republican. You know, they're a far right version of the Republican Party.
Arm of the Koch brothers.
Sorry, that phone was too bad. I don't know what that was a boot. But it was a boot of bad phone.
Something wrong with your phone, eh?
Yeah. You know, I wish I thought to say that when Jane Velez Mitchell was giving me a purple nurple last week and screaming that we need a third party, both sides are to blame, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, we do. The Tea Party.
She gives you a purple nurple to distract you.
Right.
That
worked.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think of that until that caller just said that. We do have a three-party system. One of them is completely... Okay, John Donovan.
My goal here is to have a serious conversation about those things that are driving the deficit and driving the debt up.
Yes, well, one of those is not the Affordable Care Act.
Going up.
Right. The deficit is dropping like a rock, actually. Serious! Somebody has to be serious. Why won't the president have a serious conversation?
If we're just going to have Obamacare and everything just fall into place, it wouldn't even do the damn thing.
Here is Turblehead Rand Paul.
They're the ones who are unwilling to compromise on any facet of Obamacare.
It's the law!
Because...
You idiot!
There was a time for that 3.5 years ago.
Yes,
had another chance at the voting booth. You had another chance at the Supreme Court. What's the phrase I'm looking for? Oh, you get nothing.
You get nothing, sir! You lose!
Good day.
Good day, sir!
Good day, sir. Comb your hair. Okay. Oh... Let's go to...
You brought me an abnormal brain.
You get nothing.
Right.
You lose. Good day, sir.
Uh-huh. Pete in North Carolina. Hello, Pete.
Hey, just wanted to comment on something that really gets my goat. I see this happening on the weekend news programs all the time where they talk about the gerrymandering of districts and how the Republicans are safe and your Tea Party Republicans in particular are feeding their base and are not going to have any political consequences for what they're doing. And now they say that likewise there are Democratic districts or liberals who have similar safe seats. And if that's the case, how come we don't see liberals filibustering to prevent cuts in WIC or SNAP or how come we don't see them threatening to shut down the government unless we add a rider for background checks for guns to the continuing resolution, or how come we don't see them refusing to increase the debt limit unless we increase taxes?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's what Eric Bowler was just so good at pointing out. You cannot even imagine if that would have been worth doing, shutting down the government over defunding Iraq, which was illegal and unnecessary in the first place. That was a huge... But the press would have gone insane.
That's right.
If the Democrats... And that was a life-or-death matter, and it's... Mm-hmm. Now we got this guy, Senator Ted Cruz.
Their view is not reasonable.
No.
It's not reasonable, like me, because I do not like green eggs and ham.
Do you have a bug zapper?
How often do I have to say it? I do not like...
He does have the double trouble of being not only having the most ridiculous views, but the most ridiculous voice.
He does.
Really? Can I hear it just one more time?
Do they not give out deep voices in Canada?
Yeah. Put it on the floor, Monday.
No, that's not it. Yeah. Senator Ted.
Their view is not reasonable.
Reasonable! No more grenades in him! Don't slap my nuts! Ah!
29, that just makes me happier. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You have no reflexes, your blood tastes like root beer, and some of your bones appear to have vanished. Now, I've only ever seen this kind of thing on dead people.
Hey, that's just pain leaving the body.
Yep, yep. It's weakness leaving the body. Right. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Mike in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello. Hi. I'm so glad that I got to, that you took my call. I'm calling in from Chicago. I'm a real fan of your show. I just wanted to point out that, our attention span in the media is just so short, and nobody remembers since 2010, and pretty much since the president took office, there were dozens of things that came up that Republicans had no sense of compromise on at all, even though Democrats tried to be reasonable in many ways, and now, like, nobody remembers that, and it's not coming up at all.
I'm sorry, what are you saying? I completely lost my train of thought.
see what you did there? Oh, gosh. Hey, you know what really needs Obamacare? Our political system. Our friend Frank Bruni at the New York Times wrote a great piece about our sickly political system. The shutdown isn't a new story, as this guy was just implying. Mm-hmm. It's the same story as the demise of sensible gun control legislation, even after Newtown, which is supposed to change everything. It's the same story as the stalling of immigration reform. It's one cancer sprouting lumps of various sizes. And that's exactly right. It's as Eric Bollert was saying, the media is not covering this. There's never been a time it is clear it is not both sides, and both sides do it, and it's partisan squabbling. Frank writes, we've let passion overtake reason, the recipe for disaster in all the Greek and Shakespearean tragedies we read back in school. The tragedy is now us. It matters less in American politics today if your cause is just or your logic sound than if you can raise a telegenic ruckus, if you're enamored enough of your own voice to say whatever brings a microphone its way. That's the moral of Ted Cruz, who has behaved amorally here. Thank you, Frank Bruni. There's no other way to say it.
And he missed the point of the whole story.
I do not like green eggs and ham.
He was reportedly savaged. This is kind of fun. He was reportedly savaged in a meeting of Senate Republicans on Wednesday. At last, some hopeful news. It's no wonder they got riled. Their party has become a big, hot, self-destructive mess, and the chief reason is its inability to sideline the wacko birds like Cruz, who increasingly rule the roost. Polls also show the current impasse is inflicting greater harm on the GOP. So what the Republican Party is doing with Obamacare is turning a window of political opportunity into a grave, and the party's cooler heads know it. As Jonathan Martin wrote in the Times, nearly a year after a second consecutive and decisive presidential loss, the rebranding effort that almost every top Republican called crucial has been set aside or obscured by wrangling with Mr. Obama. The elders are exasperated, but the toddlers run the show. The party's in the same bind as the country, unable to overcome the obstructionists. Anyway, he just finishes by saying the gerrymandering, which is what has been talked about over and over again, that has created situations like Pennsylvania's, where Obama won 52% of the 2012 vote, but the House delegation has 13 Republicans to 5 Democrats, can and must be eliminated through political reforms like the drawing of congressional districts by nonpartisan commissions, not by political hacks. Voters should take their disgust with this shutdown and turn it into a fierce, sustained push for a better, fairer system. And I agree, and I was saying, that's got to be making them crazy, the PPP polls, because you can scream all day that, oh, it's a liberal polling thing. They were one of the two most accurate polling organizations during this last election, and they're saying that Republicans are right now in actual danger of losing the House.
I wonder if Nate Silver in his current job is going to be getting into election.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I hope so.
Stuff.
I mean,
I don't think so.
People
he's
don't
mostly
real,
into sports stuff
people
now.
Don't wow. remember that was it I believe the numbers 2 million or close, or maybe even a little more, 2 million more people voted for Democrats than Republicans for the House in this last election.
Maybe he'll come out of retirement for the
I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah, let's
I hope so.
Chuck Schumer this week.
Put it on the floor Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah,
I would bet there are the votes to pass it.
Do it, Boner. What are you, scared? Mm-hmm.
He's afraid. He's a fear.
Get some, get some coverage.
I have to go back on the tavern.
Senator Chuck Schumer yesterday.
And as we get closer, the blame will fall on Speaker Boehner and the Republican Party for this upcoming disaster.
Crap!
Good boy. Don't forget to burp your voice, monkey, before you continue. Jack Lew, Treasury Secretary, yesterday.
On the 17th, we run out of our ability to borrow, and Congress is playing with fire. If they don't extend the debt limit, we have a very, very short window of time before those scenarios start to be played out.
Well, I used to play with fire. That's why I'm so orange. It's third-degree burns over my entire body.
Don't play with fire, Scarecrow. Okay, Jack Lew, one more time.
If the United States government, for the first time in its history, chooses not to pay its bills on time, we will be in default.
Okay. Tracy and
Jack. The Tea Party says, yay!
Yay! Mm-hmm. Tracy, yes, Michelle Bachmann literally said yay. She said, I haven't seen the Republicans this happy in quite some time. Tracy,
yay!
Yay! Tracy in Jacksonville, Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, Stephanie. Hi. I'm glad to get through.
Yeah.
I'm in a veteran hospital the other day with my dad, and there is a lady in there, and she's there with her husband, and they have Fox News on, and of course, we're saturated in the Tea Party up here in North Florida, so I say to her, you know, I can't watch this. I can't handle watching it. Can I change the channel? She gets very, very irate, starts talking to me about everything that's going on, tells me she needs government out of her life, and I'm thinking, you're sitting in a veteran hospital.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. To get this government health care.
Get
out
your
of my...
government hands off my veterans' benefits.
Yes.
What?
Okay. All right. John in Rhode Island, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Listen, I got a quick point to make. You know, everybody. One of the big arguments that you guys make as far as Obamacare, I heard your partner mention it a little while ago, was it's the law.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Well, and it was upheld by the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
But segregation was the law. Separate but equal was the law. And separate but
you're
equal
really
law
comparing insurance
wow. to slavery.
Segregation.
Yeah, giving 30 million
is,
people insurance that didn't have it is the exact same thing
is,
as slavery,
you
right?
Your argument is it's the law, but that was the law, too. What would we look like today if we say, well, it's the law, we can't change those things? We can change things just because
right.
it's
if
the
it's
law
an,
and just because
if
it was held up by
an
the Supreme
unjust
court.
Law. But there's nothing about this that's unjust.
Yes, this is giving everybody
how is
in
this in any way, how is giving, not discriminating against Americans for pre-existing conditions, giving 30 million people access to insurance that have never had it before,
had it. Right.
How is
it's
that,
nothing, it's a great, it's
how would
a great
that ever
idea.
Be considered a bad thing, like slavery?
Well, I never said anything about slavery. I said separate but equal. That was the law, and that
okay.
was held up.
All right, sorry.
That was held up by the
Rush
Supreme
Limbaugh
court.
Said it, compared it to slavery, but whichever thing you're talking
not,
about.
I don't know. I don't, think
right.
I don't agree with Rush Limbaugh and everything he says.
Okay.
But
that's
what I'm saying is if this was such a wonderful law, then how come some people are exempt from
right.
it?
Right, but that
why
was a law that was discrimination. How is the Affordable Care Act discriminating against anybody?
One of the arguments is they're saying, oh, it's the law, and it was held up by
the Supreme
Court. Well, wasn't separate but equal held up by the Supreme Court?
So,
yes,
okay, what do you want to do when something has been made a law, has been upheld by the Supreme Court? It has also been
popular.
Litigated in two national elections.
The people
that's
want
what,
it.
That's
no,
what we. That's how we.
Obama
that's how we
won.
Decide these things
Obama
in America.
Won.
We have elections.
Obama one has nothing to do with
what is unjust about
Obamacare.
It? What is unjust about Obamacare?
What's unjust about it is I'm going to lose my insurance, and he promised you will not lose your. You if you
really, how are you
going to
lose
have,
your insurance?
Gonna,
I'm not losing my insurance.
My rates are going through the roof.
Uh huh. And that's
right.
because
and
of Obamacare.
I'm not going to be able to keep...
You know what? Try and find much better insurance on
the
insurance
exchanges.
That's
you know,
what they're
there for.
It doesn't matter. That wasn't the deal he made when coming
what,
in, is it?
What do you mean it doesn't matter?
Why are you losing... Okay, John, why are you losing your insurance?
Because it's the price of my insurance is double.
Well, then go on the exchanges and find cheaper insurance.
Negotiate.
Should I? I should be able to keep my insurance.
But your insurance was going to go up anyway, guy.
Listen, regardless of that, why is it, if it's so wonderful, why
did your insurance go up before? Was it that before there was Obamacare?
Why are so many people being exempt from Obamacare if it's such a wonderful thing?
A lot of people aren't being exempted from Obamacare.
Major companies were exempted from Obamacare because they are much larger battleships to turn around. So they were given a little, and that's temporary. Right,
John,
they were given a little extra time in order to do that.
So we should all get the extra time. What's good for
why do you think millions of people have gone online already since it was available?
You're making it. You're not making a distinction. Millions of people have gone online. But how many people have signed up? Just because a website gets hit, it doesn't mean that people are signing up. For
right,
it.
Right. It must mean that it's wildly unpopular and they're just looky-loos.
Yes.
All right.
God. Much like lines around the block at Apple stores meant the iPhone was incredibly unpopular.
Obviously.
Right. How many of those people got an iPhone?
Huh? Yeah. And did they get all the apps they want? No. Which is why Obamacare. Should be repealed because it's just like slavery.
iOS 7 is draining the bejesus out of my battery. Anyone else? Jackie Schechner hit me to that this weekend. I was wondering why I keep running low on my battery.
There's all kinds of tweaks you can do to it.
See? Oh, I'm sorry. Did you say tweaks? Did you mean that it's like a little bit of a glitch? I'm going to smash this iPhone and
that's
I'm going to shut down Apple. Let's go to left.
Should be illegal. Apple should be illegal.
Hello, Beth in New Mexico. Hello.
Good morning, Stephanie and
Luke. Good morning.
I have a couple of comments. I think we did a lot of negotiating at the very beginning when we gave up single payer.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes, we did negotiate. That's the time when you negotiate and compromise is when you're making a law, not when it's been law for 3.5 years.
Right. And I agree with all the people who have said, if it's so bad, let it go to a vote and let's find out. Or let it get implemented and then find out it's crap. But they know that's not going to happen.
And, you know, Beth, I think the point cannot be made too often that when people, and I think Bill Maher mentioned this when we were at Real Time on Friday night with Alan Grayson, mm-hmm. is that, you know, when you cite these numbers that Obamacare is unpopular, that is just not true. The actual number, he was saying, because this huge percentage of that want single payer.
Right.
They want more health care, not less. And so the number...
Medicare
for
all.
Right. So I think he said the number that is against it is only actually low 30s or something. It's not what they keep citing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-1-2. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. Comedian Jen Kirkman joins us at the top of the hour. Love her. From Chelsea lately, and just her generalized awesomeness.
And her book, I Can Barely Take Care of Myself.
Right, Tales from a Happy Life Without Kids.
That's right.
I loved it. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Alex in Portland. Hey, Alex, welcome. Hello, Alex. Are you calling from a seashell? Hello, Alex.
Yeah, just a second, I'm sorry. Let me switch my phone over, I'm sorry.
Good idea.
Sure.
Yes, hello, go ahead.
Awesome. Hey, good morning. Hey, I wanted to say, where are all the Democrats? Damn it! Why aren't you on the news? Why aren't you on TV? Why aren't you on the radio? Where the hell? Where's the president? And why aren't people angry? I'm angry.
Well, I am on TV and on the radio.
You are!
Right.
You are. I'm talking about Congress. I'm sorry. Senators and and our House members, you know, what's going on, you know? Nothing. I hear from, we watch Boehner for how long on TV?
Yeah.
I'm tired of him.
Yeah, there are way too many Republicans on.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, or the media needs to challenge the, you cannot, I think Rand Paul said the same thing, I don't know, maybe 25 times yesterday on Meet the Press. And they have some, isn't there some basic journalistic ability, you know, ability to say, well, that is incorrect?
Well, unfortunately, they've been cowed into, you know, right. thinking, well, I can't be portrayed as a liberal because then they'll think I'm partisan and blah, blah,
right.
blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But you'd have to tell the truth.
Right.
You can't just let them take the ball and run with it.
Hey, here's some good news. As Tropical Storm Karen begins barreling down the Gulf Coast,
uh-huh.
you know what might come in handy, Jim, is the National Weather Service.
Mm-hmm. And FEMA.
Right.
Yeah.
National Weather Service, which is, of course, charged with warning the U.S. about disastrous mm-hmm. storms, is feeling the heat of the government shutdown. The agency has kept 4,000 essential workers on the job, but they won't be getting paid until the shutdown ends. That has led the one to respond in a particularly cryptic way. They sent out an official letter. If you look on the side, it spells out, please pay us.
Yes.
So when a hurricane hits, it should be called Hurricane Boner.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone should be named after a Republican until they open the government up again.
Hurricane Boner.
there is a large angry boner approaching. It's like
and
the
it's
Woody
spinning.
Allen.
Yes.
There's a large angry boner approaching the Gulf Coast. It's like the Woody Allen movie. There's a large
the
angry
large breast.
Right yeah. outside Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Except he uses the T word. Okay, Garth in Kansas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Garth.
Hey, everyone. I just want to say let these Republicans, these right-wingers, go with that argument of, well, slavery was legal because we went about it the right way. You all are smart sometimes, but sometimes you miss the obvious. We went after it legally through the legislative process, got it overturned through the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act, and we didn't shut down the government to do it.
Yep, yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. By the way,
we fought a civil war over slavery.
This whole shutdown mess is making people punchy, literally.
Mm-hmm.
This headline, Radio Shack worker punched customer for being sarcastic.
Oh.
Well, I think Mark Levin would advise me not to shop there, then.
Anyone who knows Stephanie Miller, and there aren't many, all knows right. she has no audience.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She's been up and coming for 20 years.
Ouch.
She's sarcastic and ultra-left-wing.
Yeah, good thing I don't know anyone who's sarcastic and ultra-right-wing. I hate a guy like that. Guy like that sarcastic gonna get punched. Ow!
Do you think they were being sarcastic about why there's nothing at Radio Shack from this century, or?
now, come on. We police, love our sponsors,
police
Radio Shack.
In Parsippany, New Jersey.
Crystal Radio, that's just what I've been looking for.
Police in Parsippany, New Jersey say they were called to Radio Shack to investigate a disturbance and were met by a man holding a bloody paper towel to his eye.
There was disturbance to the force.
Right. He was
disturbance to the shack.
He yeah. claimed he was a customer of the store and been punched by a salesperson. When cops asked what had prompted the worker to get physical with the customer, he thought he was being sarcastic. No other information.
I find myself in Radio Shack quite often to get these little headphone adapter things.
Oh, the
things.
Headphone adapter thing.
Yes.
I need a little thing you can only get at Radio Shack. What's the thing called? You know when you have a remote, but you need to, it's a little, an IO, it's an IP something thing. IP chip.
A what?
I don't, see? See? I'm not being sarcastic. Okay. Second punchy story. Comedian punches tweeting journalist in Washington. This happened last week. Daily Beast correspondent Josh Rogan.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. He was at Washington's Improv. And there was a comedian there
uh-huh.
that he had sent out several tweets during the comedian's set that he did criticizing the jokes.
Oh.
Minutes later, the comedian approached the writer's table in the back.
Yeah.
This is the danger of social media. He said, are you Josh Rogan? I said, yes, he punched me in the jaw. Yeah, see? Hmm. People are losing it. They're losing it.
Comedians are so touchy.
What? What are you talking about?
That joke was funny, damn it!
Kevin in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Kevin!
Good morning. As always, lovely Stephanie Miller.
Yes, thank you.
You know, what you said, like, is just driving me crazy about news media being stenographers for these liars. You know, mm-hmm. it's exactly right. It doesn't have to be some sort of law where you're not a stenographer, but you actually challenge them if they lie. And I wish, you know, when they were asking Boehner questions, why just keep it simple and say, if you really want to do what the American public wants, why don't you hold a vote in the House? You can do that. That's,
right.
that's democracy. Why don't you hold
yes.
why don't
the American vote? Public does not want the government shut down. Why don't you put that to a vote?
Yeah.
Right.
So why don't they press them on that? They just, instead of being the stenographers when they lie and they obfuscate and whatnot, I know they want their precious access, but, you know, we got a shutdown now. Can't they make an exception in this particular case?
Well, yeah, and the thing that I don't, it was interesting. I was watching Meet the Press, and I remember, you know, one of my friends was saying, Oh, I hope that she's going to be as tough on Rand Paul as she just was on Jacob Blue from the White House. Right. And of course she wasn't.
No.
Because Rand Paul, when you're basically just telling straight lies, I mean, there's no way. She just kept letting him repeat it.
And there's one thing I would like to ask Lou, though, again, since we're so dumbed down, just make it a, you know, because he was on all five networks, and everyone kept asking, well, even if the Republicans are wrong, why didn't the president just negotiate so this horrible thing will happen? It's like, you should have just said simply, because it's against the American policy to negotiate with hostage takers, either foreign or domestic. This is not a president. Everyone will be doing it from now on.
Yep, exactly. Oh, by the way, while everybody else is squabbling with everybody, the president, we caught another terrorist.
Yeah, hello.
American commandos carried out raids Saturday in two far-flung African countries in a powerful flex of military muscle aimed at capturing fugitive terrorist suspects. American troops assisted by FBI and CIA agents seized a suspected leader of Al-Qaeda on the streets of Tripoli, Libya, while Navy SEALs raided the seaside villa of a militant leader in a pre-dawn firefight in the coast of Somalia. Mm-hmm. John Kerry.
And those members of Al-Qaeda and other terrorist organizations literally can run, but they can't hide.
Yeah, so that happened. Gangsta mic drop. Thank you, Mr. President. Appreciate it. Appreciate you doing your job. Someone needs
while
to...
you guys were goofing off, I saved the country. Again.
There you go. While you were rubbing one out over there in Congress.
Hey!
Here's what I was doing. 58 minutes
after... You just gave me the image of Boner rubbing one out. Thank you.
Cheeto fingers.
Yeah,
ew.
Great.
Cheese whiz everywhere.
Comedian Jan Kirk.
Oh, God! No!
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, it is 6 minutes after the hour. Yes, you stream. Everybody's asking, why am I wearing my sexy liberal T-shirt today? Why? Could it be because next Friday we go on sale? For the long-awaited West Coast Sexy Liberal, yes, we do. Stay tuned for that big, huge Sexy Liberal announcement. Friday! This coming Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of sexy liberals, why, look who's here, everybody! It's Jen Kirkman, comedian extraordinaire.
Hi, you guys.
Hi, Jen.
I'm here
live
in
studio. I know! Mm-hmm.
I just wanted the audience to know I'm not phoning it in, literally. Got out of bed for you guys.
And Jim's like, oh, picked a bad day not to shave. If he'd had any idea.
He just gave me a red burn on my face.
Here's the reason we love you, because even before you got on air, you just said this new iPhone calendar can bite my ass.
Yeah.
And that's, right there, we have our first 10 minutes.
I'm the only one in the room that likes the new calendar.
It looks like it's made for a child who's like, Mommy, I want to pretend I have things to do. It's just like, I know they're like, the kids today don't recognize calendars from before.
Right.
So what? I had to watch I Love Lucy growing up. You can't look at a calendar that looks a little outdated.
Yeah, you actually just did my tech support during the commercial break.
Yeah.
Because it's been draining my battery, and I don't know.
There are things you can do to turn,
Right. We were saying that because we're comparing it that, there's been a couple glitches with signing up for Obamacare because it's so popular. It'd be like shutting down Apple because you don't, your calendar can bite your ass.
I heard that phone call. That guy sounded like a Boston guy. And that's my people.
Yes.
And
that's
I don't like when they represent me that way.
It's wicked retarded.
Yeah.
It's Obamacare.
My uncle said something at a barbecue that he's black. Is that how this works now? What does that have to do with it?
He's literally, was like his binky. He's like, the president said I don't have to get rid of my health care. How come I got it? And you're like,
so
go on the exchanges. Find one that's cheaper.
Go on the exchanges.
That has better math. But the president said I could keep it.
Yeah.
It's like getting in a fight with a girlfriend if she's, like, being irrational. This is, if I was a man, what I imagine it's like to date a woman. And he's like, well, let's just stay in tonight. I don't want to stay in. Well, let's go out. Well, you should have thought of it. I wanted you to ask me to go out, not me to tell you to go out. Well, I don't know what to do. You just have to leave. You just have to leave. That man just has to hang up and sit down and take a breath.
Hey, yeah.
Going to the bar.
Exactly. Yeah, this, I don't know if you're following the whole shutdown thing, but it's, hostage crisis. I don't know what you want to. I don't even know what to compare it to anymore. They're trying to relitigate a law that passed 3.5 years ago, which is actually really popular. The websites are crashed. I mean, in Kentucky.
Yeah, but Stephanie, it's popular with people who don't have a lot of money and gays. I think that's what people say. Yeah, but it's helping people. I heard it's helping people. So I think we have to change it.
It's helping the wrong people.
Screw them. This is the one I was reading. This is Kentucky. Not actually a lot of fans of the president there.
Oh, okay.
Kentucky health officials thought they might get a handful of serious shoppers when they flipped the switch Tuesday, which is when the exchanges were available.
Yep.
We weren't even hopeful a couple hundred people would apply. By the end of the week, more than 16,000 individuals and families had begun online applications in Kentucky.
Wow.
I have insurance through other means, but if I ever need it,
sure.
I don't want them just because I saw, you know, a psychiatrist for 20 years. That called a pre-existing condition.
Exactly.
Life is a pre-existing condition.
Right.
I did not ask to be here. I want to get covered.
Exactly.
That should be the motto.
What's like the ads for the antidepressants? Are you ever somewhat anxious and depressed?
Yeah.
Perhaps you need
yes, I'm human.
Everybody is.
Yes.
They need more drugs to counteract the side effects of the drugs to counteract the side effects of the other drugs.
Yeah, exactly. So are there any of your apps you do enjoy on your new iPhone, or is it just the calendar that can bite your ass?
The calendar can bite my ass. One time my password just didn't work, so then I just didn't have a phone for a while. One of my favorite apps is My Fitness Pal. I never go on it, but I'm supposed to enter in my calories. I just lie to it. It thinks I'm like an anorexic. I'll write like an apple, and then I never go back. That's
I've had an apple.
I ate a sprig of parsley and ran a marathon.
Yeah, and then I have some spiritual...
And then it calls an eating disorder hotline for me.
Yeah, right. Siri, stop it.
I have some horoscope and spiritual ones. Right. I have Uber, but that's about it. I never look
Uber.
At any of them.
Uber is my new addiction.
I love Uber.
Yes, but you couldn't call Uber
because
on
I don't
Friday
like to
night.
Drive because I'm frequently...
Drunk.
Right,
yeah.
And so...
Yeah. But then you tried to use Uber on Friday night, but your phone was dead because it was draining your battery.
Fortunately, I had the gallant Rick Overton with me who called a cab for me the old-fashioned way.
Speaking of which, I heard Henry Rollins on Rick Overton's podcast say he's a fan of this show and of you, which I'm sure you know.
MG, love both
he
of them so
actually
much.
Actually sent me an email from when he was in North Korea and was talking about my Kim Jong-il impression. He was very
oh, my God.
Yeah.
Can you imagine
is that
Henry
popular
Rollins somewhere in North Korea just thinking of you?
Jim, you could make buku bucks selling your Kim Jong-il impression as a podcast in North Korea.
You could take over the country.
Hey.
Well, it's Kim Jong. You could pretend
Kim
you're
Jong-un.
Him back from the dead.
Right. There you go.
Wait, are you un or ill? That's your impression.
Oh.
You should just get on the airwaves and take over.
Yeah, there you go.
Pinch on American! You're in big trouble.
Oh, God.
You think you'll shut down bad now?
Okay. Yeah, foreign governments get enemies of ours.
The switch, now the computer chip in your airplane. Ha!
You know, Jen, my point is that all those emails right to Jim at StephanieMiller.com.
Yeah, that's all you need to do.
Right over there.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of coworkers that getting you in trouble, I was reading your hilarious book, I Can Barely Take Care of Myself.
Oh, thank you.
And I love the part where you said that Chelsea Handler will sometimes take over your computer.
Yeah.
And, like, write to your sister and say, I'm pregnant, please call mom.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, she's my boss, and she gets on our computers, and she'll just write things, sometimes including human resources in it. Like, I can't even repeat on air some of the things she's had people write, but she did send an email to my sister saying, I'm pregnant. Please call mom.
Right.
And so, you know, as someone who doesn't want to have children, my mom was upset because she assumed it meant that I was going to have a child that I didn't want or not have a child that I didn't want. So I said, Mom, it's a joke. And she goes, why would she write that if it's not true? I said, that's what a prank is, but it's going to be based in something. I'm like, reality. And so I had to talk my mom down for like 3 days that I wasn't pregnant because we're Catholic. So you're not getting an abortion, are you? But then she doesn't want to have to raise another grandchild. So she's like, you're not having the baby, are you? It was quite a predicament that I wasn't.
It was like negotiating with a Republican.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. There's just no winning. Okay. By the way, since I have to marinate in this stuff, politics every day, and we never have time to read like other stuff that's fun.
Like.
Yeah.
So. Planes are the reason that I have gotten to read a lot of I Can Barely Take Care of Myself, Tales from a Happy Life Without Kids by Jen Kirkman, and it is hilarious.
Thank you. Aw. And do you read it to drown out the sound of the baby screaming? Or
yes.
How does that work?
Yes.
If you get the audio version, then you can drown out the sounds.
But it is hilarious.
Thank you.
You have been, I've actually quoted you in other conversations about masturbations.
Thank you.
Because, these guys don't believe me. You have to back me up.
I had to, yeah.
That women are just different.
They need a fantasy.
Right.
I just did some shows in London.
We need a plausible storyline. We need nuance.
I did some shows in London. Boy, they get quiet when you talk about that stuff. They're like, oh, my God.
We're British. We don't. Yeah.
I said, you'll talk about it for 10 minutes with me, and then you can go back to being British.
No sex, please. We're British.
We should like to skip the climax and go straight to the denouement.
Denouement. Yeah, you guys need a denouement. To...
Yes. Yes. Wow. Well, we explained this to you before. It can't. It has to be somebody... Right, that it would be realistic. It can't be a, you know,
it can't be,
and
it can't
be someone from your past, because then you will cry. And it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's got to be
a realistic fantasy.
Right.
You cry while masturbating?
Oh my God.
No, the point is you can't pick someone that you have had sex with, because then it will make you sad generally.
Yes, or that you're sick not to your stomach, because obviously there's a reason you're not anymore.
Right, with them anymore. So that doesn't work. And so it can't be a wild fantasy, right, that would never happen. Because it's right.
But like me and David Beckham or something.
So you don't have a spank bank?
No.
No.
All right.
Girls, don't make her go through
sometimes
it again.
Sometimes it's just medical. Sometimes you just picture the blood flowing through
dental
your body
tools.
Better. Yeah. Sometimes it helps just clear your sinuses.
Wow. All right.
Oh, by the
have
way,
you ever tried
here's
that?
How I know I'm a Catholic girl. So yesterday, I was going to a birthday party with a friend, and we went to Pleasure Chest to get a prank gift, to get a funny gift.
Sure.
I don't know what half the things in there are for. I was frightened. I was like, what? Oh, my God.
I think mostly there's one person with a fetish in L.A. The rest is prank gifts and Halloween costumes.
Yeah, they're doing gangbuster business right now for Halloween.
You might need Obamacare
for
some of those.
I'm going to be a slutty Obamacare bill.
Right.
I'm going to be a slutty orca whale.
We got the classic dong was what we... that was the
classic dong.
The classic dong. It's big. I mean, it's... You know what I'm saying?
Well, then it's not classic.
Right. There's devices in there that they have all sorts of. There's one with the rabbits. They're
things that walk across the table and just and help themselves to you.
Yeah.
See, we don't need that stuff. I mean, it's built in.
I know you're very lucky. You don't have to think.
Right.
You have a built-in dong. I mean.
And yours is a classic, Jim. No reason to try new dong. Yes, classic.
Classic dong.
Everyone likes classic. Okay, 17.
Did they have new dong in?
I didn't. I was a little uncomfortable in the store.
Over.
I didn't
they
spend that long in there.
They do on that website for Obamacare. If you sign up, if you would only go to the website, you can get new dong.
Okay, 17 minutes.
That's what Jim Dongle was born.
Now the service just crashed again because of Jen Kirkman's encouragement. 17 minutes after the hour, right back with more Jen Kirkman live in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, I guess that makes our naughty parts tingle.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 21 minutes after the hour, live in studio, Jen Kirkman, comedian extraordinaire. We were just watching Boner on TV. And we were saying, Jim, you said it's like the 60s.
It looked like 60s color TV.
Right, where you're like who touched the color contrast again?
It's
like
too red.
There's like a pumpkin and aquarium that hasn't been cleaned in months. Those are the color options.
Yeah. He does get me in the mood for Halloween. He is.
Yes.
He
an empty orange head on TV constantly.
He looks pumpkin flavored.
So with no candle inside.
No.
No.
Oh, God. Yeah, I have no idea what's happening. But there's one story after another, Jen. This one in the Daily Beast, shut down crisis. We need a hostage negotiator. It starts to remind you of every movie with crazy people and whoever played a former FBI hostage negotiator said, it actually reminds me of a prison siege. Yes, it's come to this. Washington shutdown stalemate looks like a hostage crisis. Two high-stakes negotiators. In their eyes, inmates are running the asylum. I mean, that's,
That they've always been running the asylum. Don't they have people they can bring in, like a Ben Affleck or, just like a movie star?
Oh, I was thinking Harvey Keitel, but Thelma and Louise went off the cliff, so that didn't really work.
Or Dennis Rodman, he's helped North Korea. He doesn't have any time for their country. He can't come in and play basketball or something and distract everybody.
Or Keanu Reeves from Speed.
Right, Keanu Reeves. Maybe like somebody's going to lose their head in the subway.
Going under 50. Most tennis.
we need to resurrect. I don't know how they would do this, but with all the zombie stuff, if I feel like some of the people in Congress are so stupid. If you dressed up like a Ben Franklin zombie or a John Adams zombie.
Right, rising from the grave.
Yeah, Ted Cruz might fall for that.
Yeah, I just went, oh, this is how you run a government, and they had some ideas. Like, come to you in your sleep or something. I feel like maybe that's like a last
ghost
resort.
Of founding fathers past.
Yeah.
Just,
I could be a consultant.
You could.
There you go. Good idea.
But I would say, like, just thank
Jen
God
Kirkman.
There's not a woman president because she would be so emotional. I mean, what? When I look at this, I'm like, it's a bunch of babies running around.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We could use a mother.
Yes, we could use a mother.
All right. Here's a lolly, John Boner. Just shh.
Gentle down.
Gentle down now. Okay. Let's see. Dave in D.C., you're on with Jen. Hi, Dave.
Hi there.
Hi, go ahead.
First of all, I'm a government employee, so I have a lot of time on my hands.
Oh, boy. Oh. Nothing but time to call talk radio. Yep.
Yeah, well. One of the points I wanted to make was these, you know, deficit hawks that clearly don't understand economics that are flirting with the debt ceiling are actually causing the deficit to increase by
doing so. Thank you. By $300 million a day, in fact. Yeah.
Well, and it's actually worse than that even, because when there's a threat of us potentially not paying our creditors, when it comes time to roll those loans over, which happens at the end of October, they want a higher interest rate now because we might not pay, so their risk is higher, and they won't incur. So this could actually have a very long-lasting effect on the deficit. So these guys complaining and saying, oh, it's the deficit's out of control, the debt's out of control, and all that, just clearly don't get it.
Yeah, well, no, they do. They're just, what's the word? What am I looking for?
Wheel of right-wing hypocrites!
Yeah, but that's the irony, that while they're bitching about this, while they're talking, the deficit is going up and up and up because of this.
Yep.
And you know what, a little fun fact, $300 million a day, this really is true, is Beyonce's net worth. So every day, we're racking up a Beyonce.
Think about how many
Beyonces have we racked up so far?
Jen Kirkman has a way of speaking to the people
in a way they
can understand.
That's a new unit of measure, a Beyonce.
So you're saying we need to put a ring on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just cost us a Beyonce. Let's go to Glenn in New Mexico. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Glenn.
Hello,
Glenn. Yes, go ahead.
Hi. First of all, I'm offended by all these masturbation jokes. That's sex with someone I love.
Hi!
Hey, I'm a small business owner. I support the Department of Energy. There's a fact people ought to know. More than 50% of every dollar the government spends goes straight to people like me, goes to subcontractors.
Right.
And the Department of Energy, for example, 80 cents of every dollar goes to subcontractors. And so all these feds that are being sent home and furloughed, hopefully they're going to get repaid. But for all the time my 90 employees are out of work, they're drawing unemployment. And I'm losing money and I'm losing business.
Yeah.
And then my unemployment taxes go back up again. So it is just hypocrisy for these people to talk about wanting jobs, and being fiscally responsible. And then they're shutting down jobs left and right like mine.
Yeah.
Love your show.
Thank you. Love you. It's a Beyonce a day. That's going to stick in my head. Nobody can even afford to put a ring on it now.
No.
Right?
Because
people like him out of work.
That's right.
And I just think at this whole pull yourself up by your bootstraps, that's what people are trying to do. By getting health care that they're going to pay for. They're trying to pull their bootstraps.
They're almost up, and the Republicans show up with scissors. And then there you go. Bootstraps, no good.
I've never really understood, as a modern woman, I've never seen a pair of boots with straps. So I actually don't understand what they're talking about. I just pull my boots on with two hands. But I get what they think they're saying. But maybe we should update the analogy.
What is a bootstrap?
I actually have a pair of boots with a little loop in the back. You could put your finger in it and then pull up.
So pull yourself up by boot loops, everybody.
Boot loops.
Different from Fruit Loops.
Yes.
Very different.
Leave it to Jen to point out.
Well, these taste like leather. What?
You're absolutely right. There is no such thing as a bootstrap.
No, not in these days.
No.
I'm sure there was an old-timey thing.
Right.
Yeah,
garters. So is not helping people with their health back when people died of the flu.
Cholera,
And consumption.
Cholera.
That's a new pill for people who have trouble with their colic.
Right.
Justin in Huntington Beach, you're on with Jen. Hi, Justin.
Hey, Mama and the Moose, what's happening?
Not much.
First, as always, I'd give a quick shout-out to Chris for running the Ustream chat. I have a little Island of Misfit Toys, and it's a fun little place.
Oh, cool.
But my call, the reason for my call today was in regards to that right-wing caller who called in a few minutes ago and was talking about how laws were overturned. Well, of course, laws have been overturned in the past, but just through the legitimate legislative process.
Right.
Not by taking the law hostage 3 years later and threatening to destroy the economy if they don't get their way.
Yeah.
So his whole point is moot.
Oh, and by the way, we had another troll on hold. That's the talking point for today, is, oh, this passed with no Republican support. Well,
many of
there are more Democrats in Congress.
Right. You know, lose.
I mean,
duh.
We have the majority. And then last but not least, regarding Ted Cruz. Now, I don't know, have you guys seen the movie Dodgeball, the American story with Ben Stiller and Vince Vaughn?
Yes.
Anyone see that? Okay, remember Ben Stiller's character when he was in the office? He was wearing his unitard with his pump-up codpiece. And he had that giant mural on the wall of him wrestling a ball.
Yes.
That is Ted Cruz.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and again, by the way, Medicare, Social Security, a lot of things passed with largely Democratic votes, and the Republicans did the same thing. Yep. It's like, well, that's elections. Like, sorry, you lost. Yes, you know.
You get
right.
Nothing. Yes. You lose.
Right.
Good day, sir.
Hmm. 20, or as Rush Limbaugh would say, until you win an election, shut up.
Mm-hmm.
29 minutes after the hour. Back with more Jen Kirkman on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, why can't we?
Stephanie Miller.
Be as lovable as these kids on Glee.
So, it is the Stephanie Miller.
How many Beyoncés is it to an Oprah? What's the exchange
well,
rate?
Well, 34 minutes after the hour, Jen Kirkman, as only she can, pointed out that this shutdown is costing us $300 million a day, or, as you said, a Beyoncé.
Yeah, that's her net worth.
Right. And someone just tweeted you.
Someone just tweeted me, how many Oprahs is in a Beyoncé? Or how many Beyoncés are in an Oprah?
See, that's too much math.
Yeah.
See, and
that
while we've been talking, we just lost to Jay-Z as well.
How many gals are in an Oprah? Just kidding.
No. Oh. Jennifer Louise Kirkman.
It's not even possible unless they went to the pleasure chest.
To get the classic.
This is comedy and reality. There's really no difference. Now, we were just saying this instant classic absurdist outburst brought to us by Representative Martin Stutzman, the Republican of Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we are not going to be disrespected. We have to get something out of this, and I don't even know what that even is. He just knows he will not be ignored.
So will he take candy? I mean, what does he want?
I don't know.
I'm not going to be ignored.
They literally are like our fatal attraction now. The Tea Party Republicans, they will not be ignored. Once you get in your bunny,
Hide your rabbits. Hide the rabbits.
By the way, I have a gig in Indiana this weekend.
You do?
Fans of that guy can come see me and throw
Sweet.
Things at me.
Where?
The Comedy Attic in Bloomington, Indiana. I don't know if it's an actual attic.
Right.
I'm hoping it's
That'd
not.
That'd be cool.
I never check into these things.
That'd be cool if everyone climbs up a ladder. Get in.
You dodge the comedy bats.
But I don't know if you've had stalker trouble, but I've had a little bit.
Yeah, yes, you have.
Oh. Probably that I shouldn't be talking about on the air. But anyway, I'm just professionals will advise you just don't engage. Don't engage at all. And I think that's why the president is wise in not negotiating. It's just
don't encourage
or engage in any way.
Don't get drunk and get on Twitter and yell at John Boehner. You just can't do it. Don't engage. He should just go golfing now. This is a perfect time. Just, you know what? Miley is right. F the haters, Obama. That's what he should just
that's
make
right.
a speech that's like, well.
Right.
I don't do an impression.
Yeah.
I almost tried.
Really? That was so close to an Obama. Really.
I know. You start with, well.
Well. and then just a gangsta mic drop.
Yeah.
And just, you know. Wait, so Miley was on SNL?
Yes, she was.
I did not get to see it.
She was very good, and she did a Michelle Bachmann impression.
Did she?
Yes.
She's famous for that. She has been waiting to bust it out.
She was actually very funny. She was doing a parody of Blurred Lines with John Boehner.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yes.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
Because, well, she doesn't. Michelle Bachmann doesn't do the tongue, but she does the corn dog fellatio.
Yes.
At the Iowa State.
Can you imagine if Michelle Bachmann just thinks that the best way to get through to people is to act like Miley, and she just starts wearing vinyl bathing suits?
Twerking and
yeah,
she makes. She brings a giant styrofoam finger to
it's
make a point
styrofoam.
In Congress.
It's
that
bendable.
Would be I'm surprised nobody's done that. You know what I thought Miley should have done on SNL is because, you know, Sinead O'Connor's been writing her these open letters.
Right. God, have you read these?
Oh, I love them. Oh. As a tribute to Sinead in the 90s ripping up a picture of the Pope,
right.
Miley should have ripped up a picture of Sinead at the end. I thought that would have been great.
See, she needed a good comedy writer like Jen Kirkman.
That's right.
And a PR nightmare.
It started out as like this really nice letter, right, from Sinead. She wrote her like a really like motherly kind of advice sort of letter. Oh, my God.
What the heck are you doing, you whore?
Things turned ugly.
Jeez.
Things turned
ugly. And then when Miley, then it became that kind of thing where it was like, you're not listening to me? Well, now I'm going to sue you. I think she's going to sue her for what? I don't know.
Oh, it turned all Mommy Dearest.
I am not one of your fans.
Yeah, it's yikes. That turned ugly in a hurry.
I hit you upside the head with a shillelagh.
Rick in Boston, you're on with Jen. Hi, Rick.
Can you hear me?
It's your homegirl, Jen Kirkman. Hi, Rick.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Great. So let's get serious for a minute. It's great to have fun, but obviously tens of thousands of people's lives are being affected by the shutdown. So my idea is a very simple one. Boehner obviously thinks that everything's just normal, so that the best way to get through to the guy, I guess, is to call, have every listener call and network and put it on the Internet, to put out the phone number for the House of Representatives, ask for Boehner, get on his website, and it's totally legitimate to pose tough questions saying you're affecting, you're holding the government hostage, you're affecting people's lives, and try to get an answer. And in the meantime, it's impossible for, I guess, his staff to do business if all the phone just does is ring all day and the Internet, his system, you know, all the messages say, you know, you're affecting people. So I think the only...
Just tell him, take the vote. Take the vote. He obviously lied over the weekend. He said, we don't have the votes. And you know, the White House tweeted back like, okay, we'll prove it then. You know, if you're...
Yeah.
Right.
I think, and I like, there were some Congress people saying, I'm donating my salary during the shutdown to the, you know, the veteran people that are, you know, getting affected by this. So I would just keep writing to them and saying, I'll only vote for you if you do that.
Yeah. Well, and John Boehner, I think, gave his right to Jim Beam. You noticed he was donating.
They did release his tax receipts. There's something else called Total Tan. I don't know what that is.
Something else. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, but he donated a lot.
Donated a lot to that.
Yes.
I'm tan on the inside. That's a total tan.
Scott in Wisconsin, you're on with Jen. Hey, Scott.
Hey there. I'm a comedian up in Wisconsin, and my crazy manager, Lenny, for this year's comedy tour, got OSHA as a sponsor.
Oh?
And now we got a letter that OSHA's falling out. My audience is in danger of being injured as they stampede towards the exit. I'm also stuck with a large variety of Scottsburg Comedy Tour earplugs I can't get rid of either.
You're stuck with what?
Scottsburg Comedy Tour earplugs. Since OSHA's a sponsor, they also have merchandise.
Oh, I see. I have no idea what he even said, and I think they might have been jokes.
He might have been drinking. He might have.
Right.
In his defense, he's a comic. He might just be going to bed now.
That is true.
That is true. Yes.
Right. Right.
But I think he has some earplugs.
So, this is a microphone.
We once did the radio show live from Madison, and Jim and I can confirm people were drunk at 8 a.m. when the show
They like to
started.
Drink. Hey! Wisconsin.
They were serving beer.
Have a beer! It's 7:30.
You're like, we're at work, but you guys drink all you want.
I'm sure drinking is highly discouraged in the Chelsea Handler workplace.
Oh, sure. Well, we try to stay sober at work, but then the workday gets shorter depending on if you want to have a drink that night. Let's have drinks tonight. Let's leave now. It's 4, you know.
Richard in Chicago, you're on with Jen. Hi, Richard.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Good, yeah. Hey, by the way, the money that these politicians are contributing, it's nice. They ought to give the campaign funds they get during the shutdown to charities, too, but oh, well. Yeah. Here's why I was calling. New York Times has had an article on the weekend, and Paul Krugman echoed it today about the shutdown was kind of orchestrated back after the election. And
I've got it right here. Yesterday's New York Times, a crisis months in the planning, conservatives focused on the budget as a health law weapon. They were always planning exactly what they're doing now.
Yeah, and now they blame the president. So, you know, so this will save the Koch brothers from buying your station and give them the publicity. I mean, they should be proud of this instead of hiding the facts. Publicize it. What's going on? Why do they blame the president? And why does the media blame the president?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is all orchestrated.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, that's
and who's making money?
Right. And that's the other thing is they should, you know, provide some context. Like, people were on record, Jen, saying we're going to do this.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk now. We're going to wait till we have the forcing mechanism of shutting down the entire United States government or, you know, blowing through the debt ceiling. I mean, this is their strategy.
I don't see this ending before the new year. Is that a crazy thing to say?
No, well, it's gonna have to end before then because the debt ceiling coming up.
Yeah.
October? Yeah.
It's got to end sometime this month.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we go into default, and that sends the world economy into a tailspin.
The debt attic.
They have to go, I think, with the discharge petition, which is not as gross as it sounds.
Yeah, no, that
right.
By the way, I'm going. I just figured out my Halloween costume. I'm going as a sexy debt ceiling.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Damn.
You can get that at the pleasure chest.
And you know, I did not see that outfit yesterday. All right. Jan in Massachusetts, you're on with Jen. Hello, Jan.
Hello, Stephanie. Hi, Mooks. I'm actually calling because I think that the Tea Party is blackmailing John Boehner.
Really?
Yes. I think they have something over on him. I don't know what, but every time that he decides, maybe I'll do something. Oh, I can't do that. And I think if the majority of the Republicans felt that they wanted to have a vote.
Well, that's what I said. He was going flaccid last week a little bit, Boehner, saying there was a word that he was going to not allow a default, and then he obviously got teabagged, and now he's stiffened up again.
Right. So I think they're conspiring against him, and they have something over him. But all I want to say is, man up, Boehner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
I think he's third in line to be president, you know. So I think because there's so much talk of impeaching the president, he thinks maybe, and then orange would be the new black. See that joke?
Nice.
See, I did that last
that
week.
That was a long way around.
I came back and I picked it up.
They might be black.
And I got a ride and I went back and I picked up that joke from last week.
They might be blackmailing him, the Tea Party, but I think the problem is that there's a black man in front of the Tea Party and they're doing anything they can.
He's being orange mailed.
What could they possibly have on him? He's drunk and crying and orange in front of us every day, and he has no problem.
American people. They were.
Okay, 45 minutes after the hour.
Oh, my God.
Back to the remaining moments with Jennifer.
I just want to hope they're American people.
Oh, dear. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Jen Kirkman, comedian extraordinaire. You know what it is? When a brilliant comedian's in here, it attracts other brilliant comedians like moths to flame.
Oh.
I've got Hal Sparks and Rick Overton on the line.
Oh, my God, I'm big fans of them both.
I know. Sexy liberal Hal Sparks joins us now. We have a huge Sexy Liberal West Coast announcement on Friday.
Huge.
But if you are in L.A., you might see Hal Sparks and his awesome band. When would that be, Hal?
Tonight.
It would be tonight.
At the House of Blues.
House of Blues tonight, 01. If you're a Hal Sparks fan, Jen Kirkman.
I better get a band. I'm jealous.
you can shut down the government, but as Twisted Sister says, you can't stop rock and roll.
What time? What time, House of Blues?
Right, at 10 o'clock tonight.
10 o'clock. So, I've heard such an hour.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you'll be in your coffin by then. Virgin blood drip or whatever you do at 6 p.m. when they put you down.
So that's your secret.
Yes, a fresh virgin every night, yes.
This virgin's stale.
You're in the wrong town. You're going to run dry.
So how are you enjoying the shutdown? It's going nicely, don't you think?
Well, having been to two countries in the last 72 hours, I'm here to tell you that the rest of the world doesn't think it's as funny as we have over the last few days, and we don't think it's funny at all. It's getting fairly, like the newspapers that I saw traveling were not, let's say, positive.
Did you see the French? Did you see the French newspaper? Hey Jefferson, wake up! They've gone crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Precisely. They there is a genuine idea that somehow there is a what I called last week a financial coup going on in the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is. This is effectively a financial coup. This is the taking over of the political process by one minority of a political party using extreme means that no one else has control over, and that's what this is.
And could cause a global economic collapse.
Yeah, and how? Right. What do you want to bet this last terrorist we caught this weekend probably just gave up? He's like, ugh, you know what? I could not even think of the you guys are pulling off here.
You guys
I give
are,
up.
You guys are good.
Well, he couldn't do the, he's looking at it, he's going, I couldn't do the damage to the American financial and economic system that these guys are already doing. It's redundant, almost.
It's like you have one giant suicide vest. The whole country is wearing
a
suicide vest.
Exactly. Hal Sparks, I have a comedian backlog. I have there's a backup on the 405. Rick Overton is right behind you.
Right.
go see Hal. Yes. Go see Hal tonight, 01 at the House of Blues. It is fabulous. The 01 is his band. And we will see you in studio, honey.
Absolutely. See you Wednesday. Bye.
All right. Bye, honey. Bye-bye. Dear God, brilliant comedians just lined up. Rick Overton, who I hung out with Friday night at Real Time with Alan Grayson and Carl Reiner, speaking of legends. Hello, Rick Overton.
Hello. Good morning, Mooks and Mistresses.
Good morning, sir. Your thoughts on the present state of America?
Yeah, I think they got something on Boehner, and that's why he drinks so much. He's I thought that was just a mirror in the hotel room while I was dressed as the teddy bear in the sex harness getting pinata caned in circles. Boo hoo hoo, glug glug glug, they got me. What do you want me to say now, master overlords? He's one of the only humans there, and that's why he's drunk all the time. He knows every split second what he's doing is wrong. You can see it in his face. He knows he's stuck and he's doing the wrong thing. You can see it in his hangdog mug.
Yeah.
Very loving thing to say, actually.
I thought I was looking at a jack-o'-lantern with my own reflection.
You know, Rick Overton, you can attest to this. I had my new, my iOS 7, of course, is on my iPhone. Uh-huh. So my battery drained Friday night. So Rick Overton, a gallant knight that he is, called me a cab, an old-fashioned cab on his old-fashioned phone.
All right, you're a cab.
And meanwhile, Rick, they've been saying, of course, Obamacare is a disaster because it's so popular, because millions of people signed up, and there's been some glitches, right?
Well, yeah, they jumped the gun. They played their hand of cards too soon. It's like when you see in the spring, it's your favorite comedy film of the summer. Hey, it's still spring. What do you mean? And it's like they're loading the thought in advance. They're playing poker with the hand facing outward.
Yeah, exactly. You and I, of course, we were at Real Time to watch because we were on Team Grayson. Our friend Alan invited us to come watch, but
was magnificent. He holds the record for applause breaks.
I know. I know. He was a rock star, and I thought the line of the night, because Bill asked, is it on both sides, the drinking going on in Washington? He said, no, I think Republicans have started a chapter of Alcoholics Unanimous.
Genius.
Great stuff. And Carl Reiner, he's 91 and was hilarious, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but he's today's 91. Yeah. You haven't seen today's 91.
91's the new orange.
What?
Yeah, that's what love, it's like what doing what you love for decades will do. It'll just keep you running like a classic car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I remember, I loved his story. He was talking about blacklisting. I can't remember, Rick, how it was, he was talking about, it's the same, like, obviously Ted Cruz is our McCarthy.
Yeah.
He was talking about, during the blacklisting, the FBI came to his door, like, in the morning, on a Sunday morning, and knocked, and he said, and the actor in me said, go with it. And he decided to charm them, and he said, oh, hello, good morning, would you like some, how about coffee? And the FBI guy said no, and he's like, no, I didn't make any, I wondered if you had any. But yeah, we are at some whole new place, I gotta say, in our history, though, Rick. This is, I just, and I don't know where it ends, do you?
Well, every great
empire gets roughly 200 and change, you know, and then it's still there, and you can still go to Rome and get, you know, those T-shirts and pizza and stuff. They're just not stomping everywhere anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe that's the part that goes away, the stomping everywhere part. That slowly we just don't have the money to stomp everywhere, and we start to have to become a little more European, and we're charming for other reasons. We whittle something. We make you something you have to come here to get.
Yeah, we... Maureen Dowd wrote a piece about, you know, what basically we're going to be Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, and Ted Cruz will be running whatever's left of, I don't know.
I think that's true because pleather and fake fur are big this season. Just to add a fashion thing to it, I think it is. I think it is getting Mad Max out there.
That's right.
What's in your wallet?
Ricky, thanks for calling, honey. We'll see you in studio soon.
All right.
Thanks for the cab ride. Appreciate it. Love you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Love
bye
you.
Bye. Thank you for the fashion touch.
Yeah. That sometimes fashion influences what's going on in the world.
Right. Absolutely.
And I feel like that's what's coming.
Yeah. Well, the return of pleather cannot signal good things for anybody, really.
That definitely signals Mad Max.
It might have to double as a house if people lose everything. You can just live under a pleather jacket. Keeps the rain away.
Sure.
Or you could go with the water world analogy. We will be.
Yes.
Yeah. And Kevin Costner will have that bad accent from the other movie.
But he'll have his pump that helped out.
Robin Hood.
That helped out the oil spill. Remember that? He had a
real
life pump.
Yeah.
He's like, you guys, that movie was good for something. I invented a pump that's going to pump out all the oil. I don't know if it ever worked.
You're like, that is so random.
Guys, I want to give a shout out to the 10-year anniversary of Arnold Schwarzenegger getting voted in after the recall.
That's right.
It's today.
10 years ago today.
Remember that, kids.
It's also the 10-year anniversary of his illegitimate son being 6 years old. So that's also another.
That's awesome. That is also awesome. Yeah. Oh, God. Remember when he ran out of movie catchphrases like the second day in?
Yeah.
Like the first day, it was funny. Hasta la vista, Gary Davis.
Hasta la vista.
And then we're like, aha, that's a movie thing. And then he got
back to the chopper.
B movies and.
Than just other people's movies.
Right. I'll have what she's having.
Right. He ran out of catchphrases.
This man has no balls. What? Sorry, what?
Jen Kirkman.
I can feel the blood pumping in his neck. Oh, pulse.
Pulse. It is not a tumor of any kind. Jen Kirkman's book is I Can Barely Take Care of Myself, Tales from a Happy Life Without Kids. It is hilarious.
Yes.
I highly recommend it.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much
for coming in
studio.
I'll come back when the government's back up.
Okay.
Yay.
Awesome. That's it for us. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.